happen is a lot. And first of all, Carlos Quentin and Zach Greinke have a history, a long history. He's hit him 3 times, but he's thrown at his head about 5 other times that didn't hit him. You know, Carlos has been hit now 160 times in his career. He's been hit more times than Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, and Ted Williams combined, okay, in their careers. He does, you know, dive in. He does crowd the plate. He does get in there. And he's a big guy. He usually drops the bat and walks right to first base. Okay, he's a big boy. What's different? Well, when Zach Greinke threw at his head a couple times, and, you know, he let it be known through teammates and intermediaries and others, like, only if he does that again, he's going to have a problem. And this was a couple years ago. So Zach was very aware of that, and Zach never apologized and never told him, hey, I didn't mean to throw at you. It got away from me, whatever. This is a couple years ago. So he knew darn well that was going to happen. Now, Zach Greinke doesn't miss his spots. He's $147 million a year pitcher because he hits his spots. And by the way, he hit his spots all night last night. I talked to Yonder Alonso. So oh, no, he wasn't missing anything all night long. The catcher set up away. So if he set up away, he missed the spot by... He didn't miss it by that.
He missed
it by that. So that's one other fact to know. I also looked at heat maps today of the last 3 years of his 3-2 counts against right-handed hitters, what his heat map is. Probably somewhere online, somebody will Google it, somebody will probably look it up. It's probably on there somewhere. All middle of the zone, 2 away. He hasn't thrown one pitch in a 3-2 count to a right-handed hitter, even anywhere inside, in the last 3 years. He threw at him on purpose, okay? So that's what happened. So they can say 3-2 count, 2-1 game. No one does that. Zach Greinke is a different kind of guy. Anybody see Rain Man? He's a very smart guy. He has social anxiety disorder. He doesn't interact well with his team. You know, he doesn't have meals with his teammates. He spends his life studying how to get hitters out. And he knows that if he pitches away to Carlos Quentin, he can get him out, but not unless he establishes inside. He pitched away to him last night. Carlos put a good swing on it and hit it foul. 3-2, figures, hey, I mean, they're going to walk him. He's going to hit a double, a home run. I don't have Hedley and Grandal coming up behind him right now. I'll just put him on first base. So the people, this is my opinion, and I can't say this publicly, although I guess this is public, so please don't tweet it out. We're in the trust tree here, in the nest. Okay. He hit him on purpose. That's what I believe. And so, and then the next thing is, I don't know about you guys, but I'm 6'3", 225. If Carlos Quentin was running at me, I would not put my shoulder down. Yes, sir.
Number one, do you advocate for Carlos when they go back to New York on this? But number two also, was there any kind of boom mic that picked up on what Greinke said to Carlos?
We don't know what he said. I asked Carlos. He doesn't know what he said.
Oh.
It's probably expert.
I do know that, everybody saw the tape. Everybody saw what happened. So he didn't say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit you. Throw his glove down. Stick his chest out. You know, that's not what happened. So I don't know what he said, no. We have some, actually. Yeah. In fact, Josh said, well, the lip readers upstairs think he said this. I go, we have lip readers upstairs?
Goes, what?
Well, you know, the guys, you know, we have a couple guys. It's like baseball, you know, that's why they do this with their glove, because there are actual lip readers in the baseball operations department, unbeknownst to me. Other questions? Yes, sir. Yeah. They don't, and that's out of our control. What they do is, I try to get them to do that. Fox won't do it. Fox owns the rights to broadcast the games, and And it's a requirement that MLB.com black out the games in your IP address if you're within the television territory so that they can sell the rights. I would forego it. I would do it, but it's not my call, or the team's call. The Time Warner situation, very frustrating, you know, frustrating for all of us. How many people in here have Time Warner Cable? How many had Time Warner Cable and switched? Well, you can do both. I still have Time Warner high-speed internet, and now I have DirecTV, and it's less expensive, and the picture's better, too, by the way. I'm being serious. I mean, it really is. So that's the difference is, and again, I apologize. I mean, it's a bad situation. I met with the president of Time Warner. She flat out said, you know, well, we don't have enough people switching. There's no incentive for us to do it right now. They think Fox is charging too much money. I will tell you that by definition, when four of the five other carriers pick it up, that's fair market value. And I don't believe her argument because she just spent $8.5 billion in Los Angeles on the Dodgers and another $3.5 billion on the Lakers. So to suggest that the price is too high is not a fair argument. I would argue that what Time Warner is really doing is they're holding us hostage for leverage on Fox in another market when they have a bigger economic situation. Well, if you want San Diego done, you have to do this for us in XYZ market, and that's why she's holding us hostage, because she wants to use us for leverage with Fox later. That's what I believe in. Not much I can do with that. So we have met with them. I can't force them to carry the games, unfortunately. But what I will tell you is that for 12 years, over 30% of the market couldn't get the games, and there was no choice to switch to. Cox had the rights. The areas that didn't have Cox or Time Warner, ironically, you could not switch. You couldn't, if you had AT&T in your building, you couldn't get the games. If you had DirecTV or Dish, you couldn't get the games. Now, you know, you can. So I will say that it's 22% of the market, and now there is a choice to switch to. And for those of you that have switched, you raise your hands again, please. Anybody want to comment on, was it difficult? Does it cost more? Not difficult. Picture's great.
Yeah, picture.
So
picture's fine. You know, I have AT&T. They're fine. I love
internet speed's great.
Yeah.
So I know that's not the answer you're looking for, sir, and I apologize, but I can, you know.
Yeah, they installed it too.
There are options to switch to. Yeah, and I hope you all choose to do that, but I still hope it's going to get resolved too. We're working on it with Time Warner. We continue to, but they're not being responsive. So, other questions? Yes, sir, in the back.
Sorry to hog this up, but we have a new ownership group. I'm sure they have a strategy in mind. Is there any of that you can share with us about maybe keeping some of their younger, hopefully emerging star players as they reach free agency area or the time to negotiate those longer-term contracts?
Yes, thank you for asking. Yeah, the question is about the strategy for keeping younger players. The answer is yes. I think the question is what people lose in that is there's differences in the length of time is really the biggest issue for us. Not even the dollars as much. It's what happens is you own a player's rights for 6 years from the time they come up their major league service time. So 3 years at minimum, and then 3 years they become arbitration eligible. That's all for all the teams. You know, I was talking to Greg Vaughn the other day on opening day, and he and Phil Plantier were talking about in their day, which was just 20 years ago, how, you know, players came up at 21, 22, and now Jed Jerko's 25, and that's, players are starting their clocks at 25 more often. I mean, there's still some guys that do it younger, but for the most part, guys are starting their clocks at 24, 25, and 26. What that means is their 6 years ends at, like, you know, if they start at 24, their 6 years ends at 30, then they become free agents, and if they're really, really good, like Adrian Gonzalez, he gets a 7-year deal for $154 million. You have to pay him until he's 37. And over 100 years of baseball, believe me, folks, players peak in their mid to late 20s, with the exception of about a 15-year era where they were putting things in their body they weren't supposed to. And so, you know, I'm happy to sign a guy who's 29 years old to a four-year deal, a five-year deal, pay him what he's worth. What I don't want to do is pay him when he's 30, pay him $25 million when he's 37 to hit 230. We have to be really smart about and disciplined about getting more years of the players in their prime and not overpaying them past their prime, if that makes sense. And to the extent we can do that, we're going to. We are having conversations with some of our younger players. If you can sign a guy, we could have signed Jed Jerko. Well, I don't know if we could have, but we could have had those conversations a year ago before he came up to the big leagues and said we could have him today, and there's risk. He's not going to be think he's going to be. You know, Chase Headley did great in the minor leagues. Took him 4 years to have that year last year. Okay, 2011, he had four home runs, had 42 RBIs. Last year, he was an MVP candidate. So, but that was after he'd been in the big leagues 4 years, and he was, you know, 27 years old, 20 years old. So there's risk associated with it on both ends. We're going to have to take some risk. We do want to keep players here longer. We do have a talent base here now that we've never had before. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, the problems with the team right now, if you'd have asked me a year and a half ago or Josh Burns what would be the strength in 2013, at the end of 11, beginning of 12 even, we would have said starting pitching. When fully expected, you know, Lukey, Cashner, Kelly, Erlen, Whelan to be the starting rotation with Bass and others, you know, and so all five of those guys get hurt. Okay. In 2011, won 100 games in San Antonio in our double A with Kelly, Erlen, Whelan, Aramis, all four got hurt last year. The other guys that were performing at their level in double A in 2011 are pitching in the big leagues right now at a high level, guys like Matt Harvey. So their clocks got set back. Now, it's not an excuse. I mean, hey, injuries happen. It's part of the game. But the volume of injuries we've had have been pretty extraordinary. I mean, we had the most days on the disabled list in all of baseball last year, which then begs the question, what are you doing with your medical staff, your training programs, and why is this happening? And we're still trying to figure that out. The truth is, the training programs, the medical staff, nothing changed from, you know, 10, 11, 12. Nobody got hurt, you know, not a lot of people got hurt before, and all of a sudden everybody gets hurt at once. So we're figuring that out. But I will say, Kelly, Erlen, Whelan, Cashner, Lukey, and now you throw in, you know, Matt Whistler and Don Roach are, Matt Whistler's just lights out right now in single A. The other night he pitched lights out. He may move up to double A soon. Don Roach pitched five innings the other day in double A, had 13 ground ball outs. Sinker ball pitcher. Randy Jones calls him the right-handed Randy Jones, which I never heard Randy compliment a player before that. So I was like, wow, he must be good, Randy. So we do have a lot of guys coming. Max Free, Weichel, Eflin. There's a lot of young talent, especially arms coming, and we're going to need those arms to win. You've seen Jerko. You've seen some of these guys that can play, and we do want to sign them longer term. Yeah. Other questions? Yes, sir.
The talent in the Dominican Republic and your system down there, can you elaborate more on what's happening down there?
Yeah, so the CBA changed the international rules a bit. Everybody's got a prescribed amount of money you can spend every year now. We spend it all, and we continue to sign players. The Dominican has what I'll call a longer incubation period. So you sign a kid at 16, and it might take 5 years for him to come up. If you're lucky, it might take seven. Reimer Liriano was one of our top five prospects and got hurt. Acquires Tommy John. That's another guy that got hurt. You know, I think that there's some things we've done real well in the last couple of years, and there's some things we haven't, you know, done well, but there's some things we didn't do well 5 years ago, 6 years ago, still hurting us. This team didn't draft real well. And, you know, Matt Bush, Donovan Tate could be Justin Verlander, Mike Trout right now, and that's real easy to say in hindsight, but there's about 15 other players they could have been that would have been contributing big leaguers that we didn't draft. So the difference now is guys like, you know, we've got this huge talent base of coming and of guys that are performing, and some of them are out of the Dominican. And some of those guys like Simone Castro, you know, then turned into Carlos Quentin for us. So, but yeah, we're competitive there. I don't think we're the best at it. I think there's a lot of opportunity to get better at it. We talk about that. We're figuring out how to do that. Yes? Yeah, the question's about my email and the Yankee tickets. We screwed up. And I'm the president, so it's on me. What we did was, that's why I sent an email to you and then trying to fix it. I think, what happened was we shifted some plans around and changed some things, and there's a lot of reasons why we did that. But we thought we were making it okay for you because we said all season ticket holders can purchase up to 6 tickets for every Yankee game at their member discounted price. And so we said, well, if we switch their games around, it's okay because we're giving them the opportunity to buy 6 tickets before the general sale on sale to the public, general public. I mean, honestly, you could have probably bought those 6 tickets and liquidated them on StubHub and paid for a lot of your season tickets. So with where those prices are going to go, not that I want you selling your tickets to Yankee fans. But that was a mistake because we just shouldn't have changed the plan. And we didn't communicate it well. You know, let me be clear about one thing. Like, people that think it was a bait and switch and we were trying to, we're never trying to trick you. We know you're smart and you're our customers and now you're our members and we want you to be a part of everything. If a mistake happens, it's not because we're trying to trick you. If it happens, maybe we just didn't communicate it well. And in this case, I think that's what happened. And frankly, we probably made the wrong decision on the front end. So I sent the email, apologized, and said, hey, we'll fix it. And hopefully everybody in here that had a problem called your service rep, and they were able to get you the tickets you needed for the game you needed and switch you out. And we worked hard for a few days to make sure we did that, but I'm sorry that happened. It was a mistake. I've got a couple more minutes. I can take 2 more questions. Yes. With regards to yesterday specifically, or in general, I don't know, what's the kill the Dodgers rally? I don't know. No, you know, in fact, interestingly enough, I obviously had a lot of conversations with, I'll just say, different officials at Major League Baseball today, and one of the comments was like, and by the way, did you see the tweet that they sent out from the Dodgers' official Twitter account? And
yeah.
One official in particular said, no, what are you talking about? I said, well, it said, we'll see you on Monday, stay classy, San Diego. And this person, whose name you would know, said, really? I didn't know that. I said, oh, yeah, have your folks look it up and send it to you. And, oh, by the way, Magic Johnson sent a couple choice ones, too, so look that up. And I said, you know, our jobs in these situations, aren't they, excuse me if I'm wrong, but isn't my job to kind of like calm things down, not throw fuel in the fire? And this person said, yeah, okay, we'll talk to the Dodgers about that. So you guys can throw all the fuel in the fire you want.
Bring it on.
Because again, like, I don't, you know, really like the Dodgers very much. I just can't say that in the newspaper. So, But to answer your question, I mean, we work hard to try to build enthusiasm every day. I think the thing that's going to build the most enthusiasm is, you know, we need to win more baseball games. And you know, I believe in our guys. I mean, I got to tell you, there's these guys, you know, even after, I mean, I'll tell you what, the first homestand was, or away road trip was terrible. Terrible. I was mad, Buddy was mad, Josh was mad, nobody was happy. It wasn't like, oh, it's okay, guys. You really sucked, but we still love you. You know? It was like, no, you really sucked, but I believe you're going to pull, you know, it's a 162-game season. I mean, I think we're also a different team if we start the season with Lumke, Kelly, Whelan, Headley, Forsythe, Grandal on the roster. I mean, think about those 6 names not being on the roster. It's a much different team, even if 4 of the 6 are on the roster instead of all 6 being out. So, and some of them are coming soon. So Chase is actually going to do a rehab assignment. He's going to DH in Lake Elsinore tomorrow. And so he should be back soon. And that's obviously a big deal. So that's where we're at. I'll take one more. Yes, sir.
With the Padres trying to build through the draft, is ownership going to be hampered by draft picks that are represented by Scott Boras, because the guys you mentioned back in 2004, you know, Verlander, and I think
Donovan Tate was a Boras guy. So yeah. I mean, we paid him $6 million, and I was here, and the owner at the time told the general manager at the time, draft whoever you want, it's your call, and that's who we picked. So the answer to your question is no. I mean, there's also no more, there's slotting now in the draft with the new collective bargaining agreement, so the idea of paying over slot and that being a hindrance is not really the case anymore, much to Scott's chagrin. So the answer to your question is no. I mean, the bottom line is you need to scout players better, you need to have more information on them. We have software engineers building, you know, we have a whole proprietary database now with qualitative, quantitative information, scouting reports, video. You know, we know amateur players' girlfriends' names, their sixth grade teachers' names. We know what they like to do when they're not playing baseball. We know how much they like baseball. We know what their dad does for a living, what year their parents got divorced, how many siblings they have, what their siblings are doing, who their best friend is, what they do. We didn't know any of that in 2009. And I think that as these evaluators go out and evaluate talent, which they all do, the five tools and arm action and swing path and all those things, what wins ties for me is we need guys that are competitors, want to win first, that love the game of baseball and would rather be playing baseball than doing anything else, that are great teammates, that are continuous learners, have great work ethic. Those are the guys, and if we have 25 guys doing that, we're going to win a lot of baseball games, because, you know, we're still going to take guys with talent, obviously, but when you're trying to decide in a draft, I mean, the baseball draft's fascinating because, you know, Mel Kiper can pick the football draft, almost get the first 30 all right. You know, a friend of mine was drafted in the NBA, 25th pick or something. If you're not a top 15 pick in the NBA, your chances of really being a good NBA player are very, very slim. If you're drafted in the second round, you almost won't. I mean, Albert Pujols was picked in the eighth round. Baseball, the difference is, and it's getting a lot closer now. You know, 10 years ago, if you looked at the different teams' draft boards, the players that they've had 1 through 30 or whatever, 1 through 60, they'd be a lot different among the 30 teams. If you look at them now, there's a lot of the same names up there. They might have them ranked a little differently. But there's, I mean, just go back and look at the last 5 drafts, 6-10 drafts. Look at who's drafted well. Teams like the Cardinals have found guys like John Jay and Alan Craig and Trevor Rosenthal in late rounds that have turned out to be really good big leaguers. And when you pick high, you know, Tampa Bay passed on Buster Posey. You know, but the Giants won the World Series twice in the last 3 years because of Buster Posey, Pablo Sandoval, Lincecum Kane, Baumgartner. Not because they signed Barry Zito to $18 million a year for 7 years. So, you know, it's all about drafting and developing talent, picking the right players, developing them the right way, keeping them here, keeping a core here for a period of time in their prime. And if we do that and we stay healthy, we can win. And that's the plan. Thank you very much. Enjoy the game tonight. Go Padres. Thank you.